Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com.
Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast.
Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your Android, iPhone, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week on Out Now with Aaron and Abe, we're talking Don't Breathe.
Snooze fest. I'm going to breathe as much as I want to.
Movies don't need to tell me what to do.
Wait a minute. I forgot my introduction.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe, hi, hello, how are you? Hi.
Out Now is a film podcast where Abe and I discuss new movies weekly. We cover some various movie topics, jump into a mostly spoiler-free review, then jump back to other fun movie topics. This is episode 253.
One of my favorite numbers.
Is it?
The gender category.
Is that one of them?
Yeah, sure. You know, 53. That used to be the station in my hometown that showed... WrestleMania.
Okay.
Yeah, obscure facts about Abe.
That threw me off. This week, we're talking Don't Breathe, the new horror film from director Fede Alvarez. And joining us to discuss Don't Breathe, we have, from Joe Blow, he keeps his private stuff locked in the basement, it's Jimmy O.
Hold on, I gotta lock it up really, really good. I've gotta lock the basement door really, really... Okay, hey, thanks for having me.
That wasn't awkward at all. Now I'm curious about what's in your basement.
Just things I keep down there.
Okay.
Never you mind.
And from Why So Blue and Flicks for Fans, don't get between him and his dog. It's Jason Coleman.
And of course, I am reporting from right down here in the basement. Thanks, Jimmy. Sorry about that. Whatever.
Secrets revealed. The magicians.
Kind of moot now. Whatever.
Did you say Secrets Revealed, The Magicians?
Yeah, yes. That TV show on Fox.
So in your version of it, it's called Secrets Revealed, comma, Magicians?
I forget what it was called when I was watching it. It was called Masked Magician. Two obscure facts.
That's not obscure. That was like a popular Fox show.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. I learned a lot.
almost sounded like an old Charles Band movie there for a moment. I was like, what? Did I miss that one?
Secrets Revealed, comma, The Magicians.
Yeah.
You guys know who the secret magician was?
Who?
He revealed himself on his last episode.
Yeah, he like took the mask off. And I'm like, okay, I don't... That seems to just... Yeah, like, how does that help you?
Yeah, I was like, who's this guy?
Who's this guy?
He's like, it is I, Valentino. And I was like... Who's Valentino?
Anyway, we're talking Don't Breathe today. That's the plan.
That's
the plan
that's here. Right. Don't Breathe.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the plan. Let's get to some show notes stuff real quick. Let's let's see. Contest stuff.
Did I win?
You didn't win, but we did have some banner contest a while back, and I did send those prizes out, and they got them this week, and they're very happy with them.
They
should be happy because there's like four Blu-rays in each of their packages, along with a handwritten note.
Nice.
Aww. It's a 3D Blu-ray, and I was like, that's cool.
And that just goes to show how, one thing, it's easy to win our contests, and there are great prizes that come with them if you do actually enter. So feel free to enter our contest.
Hashtag true dat.
It's not hard to win them.
And I've seen Aaron's handwriting. It's pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's all caps.
And I'm going to say right now, this is going to be a short-lived contest, but next week is our Summer Movie Gamble results show. Abe, yes?
I tuned you out.
It is.
I tuned you out.
Okay.
I know I lost.
I'm going to say right now, though, if anyone wants to write email in at outnowpodcast@gmail.com who they think won the podcast, who won the gamble, go for it.
Okay.
Because it's such a
vote for me.
There's such a.
Yeah. I'd be behind Abe. I'm sorry.
There's a small time frame between when this would happen. If you want to go look up that episode, see who's in it. Send us an email. Guess who you think would win. I'll send a prize. It's that easy. That's an easy contest right there.
Sounds complicated.
You have to get it right. That's part of it right there.
Yeah. See that.
You have to get it right.
Yeah.
That's difficult.
What else? Show notes stuff. Commentary track. Our new commentary is up for Spawn. Yes, we recorded our Spawn commentary
Weeks
ago. That's you can find that on iTunes right now. That was a fun one to do. And what else?
Lots of John Leguizamo talk there.
Oh yes, plenty of Johnny Legs talk. Oh yeah,
nice.
And his dedication to that role of clown in Spawn.
Very cool.
Last thing here, iTunes reviews and ratings. Good to get those. Helps out the show. Helps people find the show. If you want to log on to iTunes, search Out Now with Aaron and Abe. You can find our show pretty simple. You can give us a star rating. You can also write us a review. That'd be great.
Gracias.
And yeah, I think that's show notes. Let's move on to Know Everybody. We ask each other a question or two, try to set the tone for the podcast, and we better get to
Know Everybody.
Hey, why don't you start this one off?
Are you guys afraid of dogs? Were you afraid of dogs when you were a kid?
Afraid of dogs?
Yeah.
I got attacked by a dog once when I was really little. I was on my little bike, but I wasn't really afraid of dogs. I was afraid of that dog. Okay. But yeah, no, I had a dog. So yeah, no.
Okay.
Afraid of one dog. But
you know, that Cujo. Jerk dog in the
Hercules?
Neighborhood.
Cujo.
Cujo. Cujo.
Cujo. Cujo. Yeah. That's what his name was.
Take your lunch money.
Yeah. Rude.
I've never been afraid of dogs. Like, I've never been like a dog that was like too big to be like, oh, that's a big one, and I'm gonna be afraid of it now. So I was just like, all right, that's a dog.
That's what she said.
But then, dogs never frightened me.
Size matters.
Spooked you out of there. Jason, how about you?
No.
Never afraid of dogs. Man, no, you guys even, never afraid
even
of dogs. I was
Cujo.
Really afraid of dogs as a kid, huh?
Cujo, you're waiting for that. You're waiting for that barrel to come under his neck. I don't know. It was all right.
I love dogs now, but I was afraid of them when I was a kid.
Now, see, Jason was born with that goatee, so he just frightened dogs right away.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like,
I've got a question.
Yeah.
I know the answer from Jimmy already, but do you like basements more or attics?
Like, what do you mean? To live in? Or
however you want to take that question.
I'm more of a fan of basements.
Yeah?
Sure.
Basements are definitely the better one because both areas are dark, but attics tend to have melancholy feels to it. You know, like we find family pictures or family films and stuff. There's something about the basement. It's always creepy and dark, and anything down there is always sinister. So I like that. I guess that's why I'm down here.
I don't know. In the movie Sinister, Mr. Boogeyman or whatever his name, he was just like stomping around in the attic all the time.
I mean, his name is
yeah.
Bakul.
Yeah,
everybody.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. Forget it.
Yeah, well, his friends call him Mr. Boogeyman.
Yeah.
If you're like Vincent D'Onofrio literally phoning it in that movie, then yeah, you call him Bakul.
The creature known as Bakul was around in the 16th century.
Is that D'Onofrio in Rings, by the way?
That is enough.
Is he like in the same role?
we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. Okay, we're moving on.
Oh my god.
Jimmy was more of a fan of basements?
He's a basement guy, as we know.
Okay.
Yeah, we figured that.
Well, no, that's not really true, though, because
okay.
I think they're both... See, I think you should have asked it, which is scarier, a basement or an attic?
I'd say a basement is scarier to me.
Yeah, I think they... I don't know. I think, yeah, I would go with basement just because it's kind of, usually they don't, well, I don't know. They're both scary. That's it. There you go. I'm a fan of both. I go both ways.
That makes sense. It's right. Being a fan of both, basically you just love houses.
He's a real housing connoisseur.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. I love those houses. Love them houses.
All right. Well, that's how you play.
Know Everybody.
Let's move on now. Out now, quickies.
Yep.
Each week out now, we have one movie that we talk about. Quickies.
DM, was that? Did you go full on that one?
I did.
Okay. All right. I'll take your word for it.
I've been mixing it up recently.
I mean, super speeding through some parts and saying all of it at other parts?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I've been doing a good job of it, too. I'm happy with
it. I'm not doubting you.
Okay. Abe, have you seen any other movies this week?
I did. Nothing new, but Ocean's 11 is on Amazon Prime. And I was like, well, you know, I kind of like some of the music while I wait for my buddy to pick me up. And I ended up watching the whole thing, and it's great. So it kind of makes me miss Steven Soderbergh.
I haven't gone to Vegas recently. I've been wanting to watch Ocean's 11 just because I'm like, I want to watch that movie because I love Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
Mm. That trilogy in general, I'm a big fan of, actually. But that first one obviously stands out more, but still. But you haven't seen Hell or High Water yet? That's what I'm hearing.
I haven't seen that yet, no.
Okay. Jimmy, have you seen any other movies recently?
Gosh.
That you can mention.
Ironically, yeah, that's the problem. I think everything I can't mention. I did watch, like, a couple old movies. I rewatched Evil Dead, the Fede's version. I'm trying to think if there's something I can say that I watched. No, that's pretty much it.
Okay. So you rewatched the newer Evil Dead.
I was kind of like a favorite movie weekend, I guess. I watched that, and I watched what's the other one? I was just Forgetting Sarah Marshall again. So there you go.
Two classic horror films.
Mm-hmm, exactly. I don't just watch horror. I don't just watch horror or horrors.
Well, good and bad scale. Let's see. On the bad scale, I just finished watching Skip Trace, which is the Johnny
Knoxville Jackie Chan joint.
Holy! And the only reason I even graced that one is because you know it Rennie Harlan was directing it. I guess I'm always
hoping, Rennie Harlan movie.
I'm always hoping that Rennie Harlan will kind of get back to that, you know, cliffhanger Die Hard 2, Nightmare on Elm Street kind of thing, but it just...
Wait. And you never, thought he would do that with Johnny Knoxville?
Hey, what's his name? He was good in The Last Stand of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Sure, he was fought good in that, but... The Last Stand. But that was... Last Stand is awesome,
I think we get my vibe on that one. That
I think you give a lot of credit to Rennie Harlan as if, like, he was good at...
Because I did like his early stuff. So I'm like, Long Kiss Goodnight. How about that? I'll throw that in there. Hard time on that. And then upside, I got a copy of the new Tower Records documentary.
Oh, I saw that.
And Colin Hanks, you know, Tom Hanks' son, directed it. It's really
good movie.
Yeah. I was really impressed.
What's
so.
It called? What's it? Oh, it's a. Called?
Oh, geez. No,
it has like a. Hold on, let's see. All Things Must Pass.
All Things Must Pass. Yes.
The Rise and Fall of Tower Records. Yeah,
it's really impressive. So yeah, I was really impressed by that. So
yeah, that was a good one. I was. It didn't not get acclaim, but it didn't really like spread any wider, which is kind of a shame. But
yeah,
is that on VOD now or what?
Yeah, no, it's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray soon.
Okay, so. Good.
Yeah.
That's a good one for people to check out that are curious of what happened to Tower Records, because it's not as simple as you might think, actually.
Indeed.
Yeah. I saw a couple things, but first off, since you mentioned Skip Trace, I'm going to mention Midnight Run, because that movie is probably far better than whatever Skip Trace had to offer, as far as bounty hunters breaking their targets.
Just a little.
I mentioned this last week because it came out on Shout Select from Shout Factory. classic buddy comedy with Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin. That movie just does not stop being great. If you haven't seen Midnight Run, I'll once again say, see Midnight Run. It's fantastic. And it has a great new Blu-ray to check out. So there you go.
Any great features on that Blu-ray?
Actually, yes. There's one deceiving feature that says an interview with Robert De Niro, which is like Robert De Niro sat down for 2 minutes and then they intersperse like 8 minutes worth of footage from the movie and back in narration with it. Which makes me wonder, like, did he just sit down for 2 minutes at least? Because it's like in like a private theater, he's all by himself. It's like, what was this scenario where he only could talk for 2 minutes, or was all the stuff that he talked about just not allowed to be on the Blu-ray? But then there's also interviews with like everybody else, including Grodin, John Ashton, Yaphet Kotto. Like, they're all like on there. Nice. The writer George Gallo, the writer. So yeah, it's worthwhile. For sure. I mean,
nice.
It's a big step up from a very crappy Blu-ray that might even be pan and scan. I think that's how bad it is. Or, sorry, DVD. So, yeah, it's a good upgrade for sure. But as far as things I saw the other new big release this week, Mechanic: Resurrection.
I saw that.
Movie of the summer?
The movie of the summer, you know?
Yeah, that's what they say in the commercial, the pull quote from something.
I've been saying that a lot lately.
It's funny. I was at the
summer.
I was at the premiere with Scott, friend of the show, Scott Mendelson, and we were just sitting there like before it opens, like thinking, what if this is like just great? What if it's like the best action movie of the summer? Like just out of nowhere, it just becomes like this dominant force. And it wasn't that. It's not the best action movie this summer.
But you know what? You know what that movie is? It's like completist. If you're a completist Jason Statham fan, I kind of am.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's not a good movie.
Yeah.
But it's fun watching him do his thing.
That's exactly my reaction to it. Yes. Like,
yeah.
There's nothing. It's not terror. Like it's not like In the Name of the King bad or Parker bad. But it's not, you know.
Oh, Parker! Oh,
wow.
That's terrible.
But whatever, cowboy hat.
Whatever you consider to be, you know, the best Jason Statham has to offer, it's not that either. It's just kind of right in the middle. Like it's entertaining enough. It starts out making you think. I think there's going to be like way more fun than there actually is because like, literally, like there's a. he goes, like, he's in Rio, he goes to meet someone, and, like, a fight breaks out, and the next thing you know, he's, like, on the top of a moving elevator, and he jumps onto a hang glider in midair. It's like,
yeah, well, where'd the hang glider come
it's
from?
It's like, it's a Bond movie all of a sudden.
Yep.
Nothing ever becomes as creative as that again, even though, like, the various assassinations he goes on are all supposed to be these elaborate scenarios where it makes it look like it's an accident. But it's just, like, it's pretty silly. And
oh, I kind of like the pool thing.
They're fun, but it's like, in terms of, like, he jumps off a moving elevator onto a hang glider, I don't think anything quite reaches that bonkers levelness quite again in that movie. That said, I did like Jason Statham's commitment to fighting in mainly shorts and no shoes. Like, he did, like, throughout the movie.
Boat shoes?
No, yeah. Barefoot. No shoes. He's completely barefoot. And shorts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Hey, what did you think of Jessica Alba?
Fine. She doesn't do anything. She just kind of gets kidnapped and sits around the entire movie.
I was like, because I'm not necessarily a fan of her acting, per se, but she was fine. She didn't bother me, I guess. Which I guess is a compliment.
That tends to help, because you don't tend to bother me as far as acting goes in movies.
I was looking at the credits for that, and I was like, wow, Tommy Lee Jones is in this movie? That's
crazy.
Yeah,
he has a whopping 7 minutes.
He was funny.
He's in there for, like, about literally, like, 7 minutes, which I'd have to wonder, like, what the kind of the per minute his dollar fee was for this movie, because it must be
$1 million.
He's third billed, right? So, like,
yeah.
Nice. Well, with this and Jason, with this and Jason Bourne, I mean, it's a Tommy Lee Jones, resurgence.
He's winning the summer.
Yeah, but
the park is mine.
In this one, he's kind of like a gay arm stealer.
Yeah, he's rocking a soul patch. He's wearing a robe and slippies most of the
time. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, so
he just came right out of bed.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
All right. That was enough quickies.
Yeah.
Let's move on now. Let's get to our trailer talk, one of the newest movie trailers of the week. And this week we're talking Rings, the highly anticipated third entry in the American Rings franchise.
Yeah.
So this movie seems like it's basically rebooting what The Ring taught us, but, you know, now times, where I guess the VHS-ness of the original movie is outdated, which pretty much was outdated in 2000 when the first remake came out. Now it's entering the new generation of things, and there's more rings because it's plural this time, which makes it eviler or something like that.
Yeah. I guess.
Wily Samara is still at it.
Yeah, you add more of them to it and an S to their name, and that'll make it.
It's ringier, it's wetter, it's everything.
way more Samaras this time around.
Yes.
There's like tons of them.
Jimmy,
there's a brood.
Are you a fan of Gore Verbinski's The Ring, the remake of Japanese film?
Not particularly, no. I think it was overrated. I thought it was all right. I thought it was watchable. I saw on video after all the hype died down. I was like, really? This is a movie that people were so terrified of? So, I mean, it's all right. It's got that one moment, which is cool. Good, decent acting. But, yeah, no, I thought it was pretty mediocre.
See, that's where I fall into. I've never been, like, a much fan of The Ring. But regardless, what do you think of the trailer for Rings?
Ugh. That's just bonkers. As a non-fan of the original, and I didn't even bother with the sequel, I probably, unless I have to see this, I wouldn't go.
Mm.
Yeah.
Jason, what about you? Are you a fan of The Ring?
I actually am. Obviously, it's not as good as the original film. But yeah, I think for me it was the acting that saved it. You know, you've got Naomi Watts and some Brian Cox in there, and so that did get me in. So yeah, absolutely. I think the film is a good film. This one, oh man, I mean, it looks like they're almost kind of doing a little bit of Drag Me to Hell mixed with some, you know, Final Destination plane stuff, and everybody in the movie, of course, has to look hot. But I remember a time when having Vincent D'Onofrio on your cast was like a staple. It was a staple of, like, greatness, you know, and the acting thing. And seeing him in this, man, I don't know, man, the trailer looks just awful. So
I like that Vincent D'Onofrio, like, because we just talked about, like, Sinister, where he's playing, like, just bearded guy. This time, doesn't he have, like, an eye patch or something? Like, he's like... I like to imagine he demands all these things just to make him, like, wilder and wilder as, like, information giver character. Abe, what about you? Were you hiding under the bed when you watched The First Ring?
No. I remember watching the Japanese Ring, and it was all right. And then I watched the American version with Naomi Watts, and I was like, this is kind of not as good. Never been a real fan of The Ring and the franchise. Never, like Jimmy, I've never seen anything beyond the first one. Rings looks like a piece of shit. I don't know. I'm surprised that was the trailer for Rings, because it looks like something that would go straight to DVD or something like that.
Yeah, it does. I agree with that. I agree with that.
That was too much airplane stuff for me to think it would go straight to DVD.
Well, I mean, like, the airplane stuff, but also it's like, who are these people? Not to say that they're not, you know, they're up-and-coming actors and whatever else, but it's like, I have no idea why this is going to catch anybody to go and make them see this movie, because it looks completely, you know, like, I feel like we could probably write the script of the movie out right now if we just thought about it. So it certainly doesn't feel like
take that challenge, the Ring challenge.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't like a huge like epic, like the same way that the first one was, with Gore Verbinski directing and Naomi Watts and whatever else. But this looks just like a rehashing. So I guess Paramount was just like, hey, you know what? We see what you're doing, Lionsgate, with Blair Witch. We'll also re-release a movie that came out earlier in the decades. And for the most part, I'm not that excited. Even some of the scares were not that great. So, yeah, I don't know why this is being remade, or if not really being remade. I don't know why there's another addition to it.
Yeah.
It does feel like it's in that kind of Lego sequel thing that we've kind of been seeing with, you know, movies where, you know, there's a sequel many years later that's not quite a reboot, but it basically kind of reignites the similar things you saw to begin with. Yeah, and that's what this
And that's
one,
really that's really difficult to do.
It's difficult to do, I think, when there's less of a legacy behind the thing to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have the rarity, like, okay, Mad Max Fury Road did it marvelously, and I can say, and I don't know if any of you have seen Blair Witch yet, but yes, I can say Blair Witch did a hell of a job doing it.
And Creed.
Creed, yeah, absolutely.
And so, there's like some Star Wars movie that happened. I think that one did it pretty well too.
But I think in all of those cases, you're talking about you know, filmmakers and actors and stuff that actually cared about it.
Yes.
And you know, this one just, I mean, I have no idea who's attached to it, but if it's just D'Onofrio, I mean, it's a total money grab, man. I mean, it's not even hiding the fact that it's a money
grab. But is it even a money grab if nobody's going to go see it?
If it's made for cheap.
$33 million.
We don't know that no one's going to see it yet. I'll be curious what the audience is for another Rings movie that's been delayed many times.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. It's always, you're always surprised what makes money. It may be a huge hit, biggest of the year.
Well, I'll be curious because it comes out October 28th, which I think is like a week after the Ouija movie, because the sequel You say this, but Ouija was a hit, and like, you know.
Yeah, Ouija was a major hit, and I also think
it's a great movie.
well, no, there's actually a good, a decent name directing this.
Yeah,
one,
Mike Flanagan's directing the sequel. Who did Oculus and Hush from earlier this year.
Yeah,
and
I'm far more
intrigued than I thought I would be by a prequel to Ouija of all things, but like, I still don't think.
And it also has Doug Jones in it too, which is really cool. I would
rather.
Yes, exactly.
But I'll be curious if, you know,
I have more faith in Ouija Origin of Evil than I do The Rings. That's for sure.
I do too, but I'll be curious what that kind of that horror showdown will be like if you have one.
I know, right?
The Titans.
As I said, Rings does come out October 28th. So that's a thing that's happening.
It's happening. Yep.
I believe that opens on the same date as Untitled Lionsgate Horror Movie. I think they're still like lingering down there
Is that what they're calling it?
No, there's still something out there, I think. I believe. Let me look real quick. Let me see. It's like release date for like Untitled Lionsgate Horror Movie. Let me see. Hold on.
Oh, you know, I did see
October 28th. Inferno, Rings, and Untitled Lionsgate Horror Film. They're all scheduled for release on October 28th.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
That'll either move or I don't know what, but it just says Untitled Lionsgate Horror Film.
That's bizarre. I can't wait for that one.
Maybe they're just gonna pull a Cloverfield and just drop a Saw movie on you, like right now.
Oh, hey.
I mean, that'd be
bold.
Yeah, that'd be very bold.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Let's move on from this. Let's get to our main review for Don't Breathe.
You're leaving?
Yeah, as soon as I have the money.
When are you coming back?
Never.
Yo. I got our ticket out of here. Rumor is this guy is sitting on at least 300K. Boom!
That's our guy.
Wait, is he blind?
We messed up to rob a blind guy, isn't it?
Just because he's blind don't mean he's insane, bro.
That should have been some of the trailer for Don't Breathe. Coming a few years after the Evil Dead remake, director Fede Alvarez has returned with the ultimate exercise in grueling home invasion terror. Stephen Lang portrays a blind man who turns the tables on his would-be robbers by locking up his house and stalking after them. Lots of twists and turns ensue as the film contorts itself around a lot of killer scenarios and some surprising reveals that delve into what cruelty really is. Jimmy O, you just watched Fede Alvarez's Evil Dead remake. You're a fan of that one, I believe.
I sure am.
And now you've seen Don't Breathe. What did you what'd you think of this film?
Absolutely loved it. My expectations were kind of in check, but when I saw it at Comic-Con, I went in and I was blown away. I loved pretty much everything about it. It's one of those rare movies that actually has a few surprises, I guess we could say, that just had me like literally like holy crap! I can't believe they're doing that. I can't believe I can't believe an American film is kind of going to that level. I really dug it. I think it's beautifully shot. I love the performances. I just loved everything about it. Everything about it. It was awesome.
All right. Jason, what'd you think of Don't Breathe?
Yeah, you know, I actually went in with a lot of anticipation, mainly because, I like the premise. You know, there was a movie called Shut In that had come in earlier this year, and now it's called Intruders, but had a similar kind of premise, which did a lot with it. I'm a huge Stephen Lang fan, especially this year. He had done a little role in a movie called Band of Robbers that's definitely on my best actor list, where he played Injun Joe, and it was a really small part, but it didn't matter. It was just practically stole the movie, but even though the movie was great. So I went in with a lot of anticipation for this movie. I'm actually not a huge fan of the remake of Evil Dead. It was kind of grisly. It was okay. It wasn't anything I would write home about. Was really disappointed with Don't Breathe. I would say bottom line for me is the movie just wasn't all that scary. It wasn't that tense for me. It wasn't a lot of that would have to do with, you know, the characters for me. I wasn't really engaged that much in a lot of the characters. Didn't really care about them. The only person I thought was really good in the movie was Jane Levy. And I think that has more to do with her acting ability and her talent and stuff. I kind of wish she'd do something else, you know, because I really want to see her go the full spectrum. I felt like everybody was pretty one note, even Steven. Steven was good, but he just was kind of one note, you know, and I do think there was room for his character to breathe and do more, you know, have more layering, but it just wasn't there. The movie's very reactionary. It's very, you know, it doesn't spend a lot of time on, you know, that kind of stuff. One of the things that I think in terms of scares, Fede tends to telegraph a lot of his scares, meaning, you know, like one of the first scares in the movie, I think hit everybody that I was watching it with. And that's because he wasn't telegraphing. Telegraphing meaning, like, say you have a window and you show more of a window than the person. Mm-hmm. We know something's going to hit that window. But when you don't do that, that's when it freaks people out. So Fede, I noticed in a lot of his shots, tends to telegraph. And so it takes me out of it a lot. But, a lot of plot holes. The movie has literally, it's hard to describe because I don't want to give away the movie, but the movie literally has five endings, and it's kind of all over the place. So I was not a huge fan of it. What I find most interesting was that a lot of critics, because Jimmy had mentioned to me, you know, that the Rotten Tomatoes score is really high on this movie, but I do notice that in a lot of reviews, including yours, Aaron, that everybody tends to have sort of the same issues I have, but they say it doesn't matter because the movie's really good. So CinemaBlend, They said an instant horror classic. I love this movie. But even he said its finale simply can't live up to the first and second acts. As day breaks outside the house, the film begins to lose some of its luster. Bloody disgusting. The guy says, I absolutely adored it. But he does say, I could have used a little more closure in the final reel. New York Post, as lean and relentless as some of the best John Carpenter films. But even he says, apart from its thin characters and occasional trite moments, as well as a silly attempt to set up a sequel, it's great. Brian, from our site, Why So Blue, really loved the movie, but even he says it's over the top, ludicrous, and ridiculous at times, but the suspense and tension outweighs the negatives. Aaron, yours. You say this film is not full of deep characterization. I guess for me, the point of bringing these up, because I can't bring up details of the movie, is that the issues, I had the same issues you guys did, but they're glaring for me and way outweigh any kind of scariness or unsettlingness watching this movie. I mean, I could be tainted from years of horror watching, but it's just not my favorite.
I guess I'll go since I'm being quoted in your.
I just want to say that Jason came prepared.
Because I knew I couldn't get prepared was because I knew I didn't want to give details of the movie away for people, for fans who hadn't seen it. But, you know, because with details of the movie, I can absolutely back up my argument. But without it, I wanted to make sure that I could show, you know, some validity to what it is that I'm talking about.
Understandable. Yes. And like, as far as, so from where I'm coming from, I really like this movie. I'm with Jimmy as far as what I think it does, what it tries to do. I think it does effectively. And I see where you're saying that there is issues there that to you are obviously more glaring than to some of us are. And when it comes to basically, I mean, my main sticking point is, it's not even a sticking point, but it's the characters. It's a movie that the movie's 88 minutes long. It's not a long movie. It gets to the point rather quickly. I've read interviews of Alvarez saying that he had more stuff with money and with Alex, the other two characters, three robbers total. And you only get really backstory on one of them, which is Jane Levy's character. And I just, looking at that, I wonder, would this be a 10 out of 10 or whatever you want to call it if like I got to spend 10 more minutes with these people? I don't know. I don't think that's the case. I don't think by knowing why these robbers are robbing stuff, I'd be like, oh, well, now this movie is just just phenomenal. Like, it does nothing wrong because I got to learn that much more about these characters that I don't really think I'm supposed to like all that much. I can glean the idea of why they're doing the things they're doing without having to see a movie explicitly tell me. I'm happy to get one of them at least, but I mean, I see like a kid like Alex who like he's responsible for finding his dad works for a security company, and so like that gives him like an in to how to rob certain houses and money. You know, he's from the wrong side of the track. Like, they're in Michigan, so he's from 8 Mile.
He's
and,
yeah.
Well, see, that's kind of, a lot of their situation was really, you could tell by just the way that he shot it, the way he shot Detroit, the way he shot that neighborhood. I kind of felt that really told a lot about those characters as is. I think for me, that was enough.
But, so you take, forgetting the characterization, you're talking about, you know, the scariness factor and telegraphing the horror or what have you. I was tense in this movie. I would say, yes, it's familiar as far as how certain setups go, just because I've watched plenty of horror movies and know where things have to be going to a certain degree. But I think there was a lot of ambition in the horror that was happening, in the way he was setting up tension. I think that comes down to what I tend to like in movies a lot, which is geography. I really like the way he set up. Like, there is an elaborate scene early on in the film that kind of, I know it's not truly a one take, but you know, it moves the camera around throughout the house where you follow the three robbers, so you get a layout of what's happening. And I always like that kind of thing. It happens in a lot of James Wan movies, which I know, Jason, you're also not a big fan of James Wan and his horror brand. But I mean, the way Alvarez is functioning, I think he's a director that's clearly been, you know, he's clearly seen a lot of horror movies in his lifetime. He's not necessarily doing anything new as far as the writing or even how he's presenting much beyond, give or take, a couple ideas for shooting in the dark or what have you. But I think the method he's going about these things, it was enough to make me like want to be concerned of how things are going to play out exactly. And while you mentioned there's a number of endings on this movie, I did like that there's kind of this relentless torturing nature of certain characters, and even a teasing of certain characters I thought would not be around as long as they would. And all those things I appreciated. But before we get back to the war of this, Abe, what did you think of the film?
I thought it was a good film, and I did have some of the issues that you guys had too. But I thought that it was well shot. I thought that the The music was all right in terms of the scoring of it, but I certainly liked the aspects of, they're not really, I wouldn't really call them jump scares per se, but just camera tricks that Fede Alvarez does so that somebody appears in the doorway or somebody shows up when you don't expect them to. So yeah, you could call them jump scares, but I thought that they were done better than like the dog jumping out the window kind of thing.
Well, yeah, I know what you're talking about, because it's not like a jump scare is like a, you know, a thing pops into your frame and the music chord jumps up at the same second kind of thing. There's a lot of camera turns and a thing was there that wasn't there before type scares. That's not quite a jump scare,
right?
Necessarily.
Yeah, and you know, the best example of this, I'll just describe this very generally, is when somebody is kind of outside and then the camera pans up and there's somebody else there. And I was like, oh, that was clever. That's pretty cool. In any case, one of the things that I it's funny that you mentioned the geography of the house there. I thought about that too, but I didn't think that it was as great as a James Bond movie, because I did get a sense of where things were, how big the house was, but I think there's some unexplored stuff, which I think James Bond masters. He's such a master at it that, again, I can definitely tell you exactly where I need to go.
Well,
in
Lang
the
has
house
a big basement. I mean,
yeah, he does. He does. Like, much larger than I expected. I thought the
and big air ducts, of course, human size air.
In any case, I didn't like the characterizations either. I thought that they were kind of weak. Maybe not weak, maybe a little cheesy. Because they have funny dialogue, and it's not really for that, I know. But it certainly doesn't help that also later in the movie, I'm not really sure if I should be rooting for one party or another.
I mean, I think given the things certain people do, I'm pretty lenient on those who take stuff versus those who do
I
stuff.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I get what you're saying there. So,
that's what's interesting to me, is the moral ambiguity of it.
I think it plays with that a little bit before there's certain reveals are like, oh, yeah, okay. Like, I don't have much worry about who's on the side of good here.
Sure,
yeah, but what Abe was saying about the characters, you know, I mean, for me, again, you've got the hothead, you've got the quiet, introverted guy who's very concerned about the girl. But I think most of all, the thing that I was disappointed with was Stephen Lang, because I don't think it's him as an actor. I'm not suggesting it's him as an actor. I just feel like that character, there just wasn't much meat to that character. And I think if any of, because I know you said, well, if we'd get a backstory on any of the other characters, it would have been better. I think that character, to me, if we had had a little more meat on him in some way, and it doesn't even have to be in dialogue. He did it in Band of Robbers, and he was in that movie maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes. There's no reason that in this movie that he couldn't have, like, it not only created a terrifying villain, but a interesting backstory-ridden, you know, really good characterization villain. So
I would have preferred something along those lines in the first 5 minutes of the movie instead of the In Media Res opening that really doesn't help anything at all. Like,
I agree with that.
I don't know at all why the movie decided to open that way. That was the one thing that really bugged me. It's like, why do we even have this shot? Like, it's a clever shot, I guess, but what is it doing to help me understand this movie instead of just reveal stuff?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So just
I like the beginning simply because it kind of set up a sense of dread that you know is going to come.
I mean,
I thought it worked.
Well, I mean,
really
it sort of helps out for the later part of the movie too, because at one point you're kind of wondering, well, you know, what is going on here, and is this person all bad? But you know, there's a lot of plot devices and narrative in the movie that kind of make you think otherwise until the events of the third act.
But I mean,
in any case,
that opening shot though, it's like I'm just sitting there thinking, well, I know certain things can't happen because this happens in the movie at some point.
I wasn't sure until later, but in any case, just to finish up here in general thoughts, you know, the movie, it's well made in that it shot well and the direction is good. It's just that, again, the characterizations were, I thought, a little weak, and for the most part, it kind of some strange dialogue later in the movie, but I think it's good for its simplicity in that, you know, it gets right to it after about 10 minutes of exposition in the beginning of the movie. So on the whole, it's not bad.
That's what I admire.
I did
simplicity.
Have some problems with
it. I mean, that's a key aspect for why I like this movie, is because it is very, it's streamlined. It very much gets to the point quickly. And I mean, Jason, if you can't appreciate the the way the horror plays out, then that's, you know, that's going to be a huge problem, obviously.
Right, yeah. Right. Even, you know, Jimmy and I had discussed this, obviously Shut-In, aka Intruders. I don't think it's a scary, like, that's the thing. I, Jim, I don't actually think it's a scarier movie, like where you go, oh, it's really scary. It's way scarier than this movie. I just think it was more interesting. I was engaged. I was engaged in all of the characters. I was engaged in the situations that they were happening. And I don't even think in this movie that having one person on one side and one on the other and defining who's bad and who's good even had anything to do with that. I just wanted to see more in terms of all of them, and in terms of the staging, and in terms of giving it, you know, caring about and seeing originality in terms of the staging and how it was done and everything. I really just didn't feel like when watching this that I was watching something that I hadn't seen before and that was going to freak me out.
Well, there's a movie that I was thinking of throughout this, actually, that I was going to talk about or bring up to you because I knew you're going to be on this podcast, was The Collector. I know you're a big fan of The Collector.
Yeah. Mm.
Which, you know, it's a home invasion type film where you have, which is very much like a cat and mouse type game, because you have like you have a killer who set up elaborate traps, and you have this incredibly skilled robber. And I wouldn't say there's much characterization for, well, certainly not for the collector, and not for the robber character either. But I guess what it's presenting.
Oh, I disagree. I completely disagree. I completely disagree. I think both of those characters are extremely nuanced to the point where even the collector himself, there's little inflections and little things that he does, little body language pieces that I didn't notice in the second movie, and I was like, why am I not noticing that? And it's because it's a completely different actor. So I disagree, and I think the guy who played, I'm trying to remember his name, who played the robber. Oh man, that is a fabulously wonderful performance. I disagree. I think the performances in that movie are great. And by the way, okay, Josh Stewart, good in that movie. Oh, but by the way, I'll give you a recommendation for some movie that none of you guys have seen. If you want a sense of dread through a movie, not freak, not scary, not like jump scares, but just a sense of dread. There was a movie called The Waiting that I saw from South by Southwest, and now it's going to be called The Good Neighbor with James Caan. That movie, not only did I give it 5 stars, but it totally unsettled me through the whole movie. I would recommend that one.
I'll have to look that one up.
I see it. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Old James Caan, good. You know, I see what you're saying with Stephen Lang, where I don't think he's not good in this movie. I do think he serves his role well. I can see what you're saying is they could use maybe a little more nuance, which again I think could have, you know, if there's some kind of scene at the beginning that didn't, if you want to talk about telegraphing, if there's some kind of scene that didn't telegraph a major part of the movie for me at the beginning instead of that, that'd be something I could appreciate. That said, I can see any other actor playing this role, and I think that's more of the issue I have with Stephen Lang.
Is that to say that he's underutilized?
No, I don't think he's underutilized. It's just more of, I think if you shoot any actor in this way who's playing blind and stalking around the house, you could probably get the same reaction out of that person.
I don't know. I thought he had gravitas to it. I thought there was something that he added specific. I really disagree, but I thought he was really fantastic. I thought with that and the film that Jason mentioned, Band of Robbers, he's really proving to be kind of having a comeuppance again. And it's both roles I thought were really terrific.
I'm not saying he's bad, but if I could side with Jason a little on this, there's not an iconic presence necessarily because of Don't Breathe. I'm going to be like, well, I can't wait for Stephen Lang's The Blind Man to show up in more horror down the line.
Oh, see, I disagree. Right. I fully disagree.
I like Stephen Lang in this role too. And I think that he brought that sense of, hey, ex-military, don't mess with me kind of thing. I agree with you.
His eyes.
I was way more scared by the context. I was way more scared by the quiet creepiness of Injun Joe in Band of Robbers than I was by this guy.
Big time.
He's unsettling.
I wasn't scared by
in a quiet
in
way.
Band of Robbers. I just enjoy. I just thought it was a really great movie. But yeah, I definitely probably love this movie. It's probably one of my favorite films of the year so far.
I admired that the for being, you know, a horror thriller with some grisly scenarios, it's not very bloody, which is
not at all.
It's almost the exact opposite of his Evil Dead. Like, you know, that movie's, you know, it's blood's literally raining from the sky in that movie. This movie, even though there's some gun related stuff and other moments, it's not a bloody movie, really.
No, not at all. Which I think this past year, I think we can all agree that horror has been really, I think it's the best year in horror we've had in ages. I mean, you very rarely can we say we've had two good horror films come out in 1 year. This year, I can name a ton. And I would definitely put this up there.
There's been some worthwhile stuff, yes.
Yeah, there really has. Really has.
And I liked Lights Out from a couple weeks ago. I was a fan of that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Which, again, I think, for me, the best part of Lights Out was the characterization. And a lot of the, and what, actually, the monster, in, you know, the whatever you want to call it in the movie, has very intricately to do with that. And to me, that's what made that movie fascinating. The scares and stuff are fine, but that's what made that movie great for me.
So. Well, yeah, I appreciate Lights Out for different reasons. Lights Out, you know, it has a simple gimmick that it can't milk for 80 minutes. So it's like, all right, I guess we're going to have to write good characters. And they did that. It's like that was their solution. They had to write a good movie to make up for the fact that they only have this Lights Out gag. This movie, I guess it has a gag so much. It just has a very simple premise and goes about executing it. And I think, for me, it did it rather well.
And, yeah. You know, given that logic, too, I certainly like that the premise is simple, but I guess I was expecting more from the house and Stephen Lang because the three other characters are not very well developed. I do like Alex because, like what you said, Aaron, hey, it's kind of neat to see what his dad does for a living and how they do some of this stuff, but there's not a whole lot else that goes on, and I guess I was kind of bummed out by that. Not to say that I wasn't entertained.
To be fair, but Alex, he's the one I like least, even though it's more like I get it. I get who he is just from the simple things they tell us about him, but that actor, Dylan Minnette, who seems to come from the Logan Lerman school of sappy white boys.
wasn't Logan Lerman.
Yeah, the good job on him for being in the movie doing whatnot. He seemed like he could use a punch in the face.
Oh, you're rude.
That's
amazing. I like that. I like that actor quite a bit, actually. I think he's really good.
That actor, and I liked his character the most because he has a sense of consciousness that says, hey, we shouldn't do this because it's way more complicated than we originally thought, and let's get out of here. And if he wasn't, you know, trying to, I don't know if he's trying to get with the girl, but if he wasn't kind of infatuated with the girl, he would have been all right.
This doesn't make me not think that he still could use a punch in the face. That's the...
Oh, you're mean. You're so mean.
I'm kind of with Aaron on that one, man. You know?
I like him in Goosebumps, man.
I liked him in Goosebumps. This is
basically the R-rated version of Goosebumps because he shouldn't have gotten into the house.
It's an R-rated version of Home Alone.
Oh God, I hate Home Alone.
Is much older now, and has a weird basement.
It's the Bandit's sons.
Yeah. By the way, I think that one of the best sequences that I enjoyed, and I thought there was gonna be more of, was the basement sequence where it was just all black.
That was really cool.
That sequence
I thought there was gonna be a little bit more of that, where it really added a sense of tension, because there's a great shot where you see Stephen Lang and the camera pulls away and it just becomes pitch black, so you actually don't know where he is anymore, and that was really neat, and that really added a sense of suspense and thrill, but it kind of only lasts for about 5 to 8 minutes, which is a while. It gives you a good sense, but I kind of was hoping for a little bit more of that, and that sort of made it a little bit less edgy, but I still enjoyed some of the aspects of camera play and the way that the director can shoot things to make you believe things.
Any other thoughts on Don't Breathe before we move on?
You can definitely breathe. I mean, that guy is not Daredevil, so he can't see the world on fire.
There's a couple of shots that be like, oh, okay, the footsteps aren't that important.
The footsteps, apparently she doesn't wear, the smell of shoes and whatever else,
it's kind of off and on with some of his superhuman senses, it seems.
I agree.
They do smart things, but they also do dumb things, which isn't necessarily unrealistic when you give in the stakes of certain scenarios, but they take the shoes off so they're not making too much noise. But then you have the guy with money who's like, well, I knocked him out because I used my clever chloroform spray thing or whatever, and so he's just yelling and shooting and stuff. It's like, okay, come on, let's not take advantage of the situation too much here.
I agree that there's some clever writing to it, but later it kind of goes off and on. One of the best lines was in the beginning when they're going to go to the house, well, the lights are off, he must be asleep, and then Alex says he's blind, he doesn't need lights, and he's like, no, it's 2 a.m. it's like, no, that was a good point. It's like, yeah, he's blind, How do we know if he's asleep or not? So, in any case.
All right. With that said, where should people go and see Don't Breathe? Abe?
I think it's fun enough to see in a theater with people because the reactions from around me were great.
Jason?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the average fan, I'm sure, is going to, you know, who's just craving the horror is probably going to dig this. But for me, you know, I'm a aficionado. I read in terms of, you know, a really good horror movie that I'm going to recommend. So, you know, if you're just a regular average fan, you're probably going to dig this. If you have, you know, if you have really, you know, high expectations, it might not match up and it might just be okay for you.
Jimmy?
Well, I mean, I'm a hardcore horror fan. I would absolutely see it opening weekend. But that's, you know, again, it's different. Horror is different for everybody. It really is. What works for some doesn't work for others. But this worked 100% for me.
Yeah, I would say go and see this in a theater with an audience. I think it's an effective horror thriller. You know, it's got some familiar elements to it, but I think it's lean and simple enough where I'm like, yeah, all right, I got what I wanted out of this, and I'm very satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on now. Let's get to our sponsor real quick. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Why Audible? Audible content includes more than 180,000 audiobooks and other similar programs for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or any kind of MP3 device. Additionally, Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook download of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast. Use a book to download for free and start listening. It's just that easy. audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast. Be a winner.
And read.
Or listen at audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast.
Nice.
All right, let's move on. Let's get to some feedback.
Feedback.
This is where we go over some of the various questions and answers on our Facebook page, facebook.com/outnowpodcast, where we ask a number of questions to our listeners here, and they're happy to give us some answers. And they also ask some questions that we'll be happy to answer on the show. All right, first question here. What actor would you absolutely not want to mess with? Jimmy and Jason, feel free to chime in if you want to as well. Greg writes, I feel like Michael Shannon would murder me while smirking. And Danny Trejo was a championship boxer in prison, so them. Friend of the show, Jay writes, Vinnie Jones, I feel like he often gets handshakes and headbutts mixed up. Jason writes, Gary Busey, I am afraid of what will happen when you face to face with him. Joe writes, Carrot Top, he's like a redheaded Hulk.
Yeah,
he did get a lot of buffer.
Philip writes, Gary Busey, again, he's scary and unpredictable. Nippon writes, Ed O'Neill, he's a black belt in, what's BJJ?
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Is that true?
Yes, I believe so.
Ed O'Neill?
Yeah, because he and, like, David Mamet are best friends, and they're both, like, martial arts buddies.
I had no idea. Wow.
That Mamet connection. Mamet makes everyone
makes them go to martial arts?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's known for dialogue and martial arts, David.
And red
finally,
belt. Red.
Finally, Manish writes. Manish writes, Charlize Theron, and I bet Taraji P. Henson could make me cry with her words.
I have seen that skit with her and James Corden. That was pretty good. Next question we ask everybody: Stephen Lang stars in Don't Breathe and wants to play Cable in the next Deadpool movie. Who do you want to see play Cable? Greg writes, I like Lang for the role, but also think that Christopher Maloney would make a great straight man for Deadpool. Jason has easy Ron Perlman, but I also want him to be Swamp Thing. And lastly, April has Ron Perlman all day. Any thoughts on Cable?
Does Ron Perlman look like a Cable? Like, I just knowing what I know about...
He doesn't look like Cable.
I guess they're going for the entire, like...
Well, knowing what I know about Cable, like, Ron Perlman, his attitude seems completely different from Cable to me. I see the Ron Perlman, it's like, I don't see the connection between the characters.
You just see Hellboy?
Well, I just see, like, here's an old actor who's kind of tough, so he can play Cable. Like, but Ron Perlman has a way different attitude. Like, he's a smart ass, and Cable's not a smart ass. He's just kind of an asshole. Like, that's Cable. Okay, we'll move on. Favorite film about being trapped in a house? Nippon writes, I don't know if this counts, but Home Alone 2.
Greg writes, he's in a hotel, Nippon.
He's trapped, I guess, to it. I mean, he traps the sticky bandits in there.
Yeah, that's true. Later.
Yeah, later. The thrilling climax. Greg writes The Strangers. Philip writes House 77. Manish writes Rear Window. And April writes 13 Ghosts.
Interesting.
The remake, because it has the number 13 in the title.
In the title. Yes.
What do you think, Jim?
So obviously you have to throw the Collector in there. You'd have to throw in Intruders, aka Shut In, and probably Repulsion. You could add that in there. And and one that starts in the house but then kind of goes out a little bit, which is kind of like Home Alone, but if the kid was Michael Myers, The Aggression Scale, which I thought was really good.
Mm-hmm. Repulsion's a good
thing. The Aggression Scale.
Yeah. Cool.
Next question we asked everybody, what is your favorite movie where characters are constantly under the cover of darkness in some form? Greg has The Last Act of Pitch Black, sorry, drawing a blank. Philip has Never Let Me Go, which was, is that the movie where they kind of...
That's set in the future with...
organ donors and whatever.
Yeah,
else?
Yeah, with Mulligan, okay. Spider-Man, and Keira Knightley.
Was that...
It says that on the poster. Mulligan, Spider-Man, and Keira Knightley.
That's exactly how they sold it.
Yeah.
You can definitely see it. I've read the book.
You never saw the movie?
It's all right. I don't think I've seen the movie.
You never saw
it? Is it under constant cover of darkness?
I wouldn't have thought of that as an answer. I think that's more of an abstract answer, which, you know, credit to Philip. Good job.
Okay.
But the movie's quite good. Job, if you've read the book, I'd say check it out.
Okay. I'll give it a go.
It's from, what's his name? Mark Romanek, who did a one-hour photo.
Mm. With late Robin Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's good atmosphere in it. It's a really neat movie.
Well done.
Next question. We have favorite Jason Statham action movie. Jason writes Crank. And
oh, I love the Crank. Love the Crank.
Crank and Furious 7 because of that fight with The Rock was amazing.
That was cool.
Manish writes Spy. I'm a big fan of Crank. I think Safe is really good. I think that's...
I like Safe a lot. I think Safe, that's probably my favorite.
As far as like Jason Statham acting goes, I think that's really strong. And as well as The Bank Job. But Bank Job's normally an action movie, so it's hard to...
The Bank Job. Is that the one where the royal family wants to get photos back?
Yes, that's ostensibly the plot of it, but even though it's called The Bank Job, which is like a terrible title for that movie, but it's a solid like heist film. But yeah, that's why like that and like Lock, Stock, and Snatch, like those aren't really action movies, so it's hard for me to say those are my favorites, even though I really like those movies.
Okay.
But yeah, as far as like action, The Crank and Safe are really good.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, he's not bad in the Transporter movies. Like he has a black belt in karate, and he was a diver, so he's very athletic. So his action sequences are usually pretty good.
Yeah, the first two Transporters I really like. They're just not my favorites, but I mean, they're certainly solid Jason Statham efforts for sure.
Like, I liked Expendables too. For some reason, I just thought it was a lot of fun watching all those guys just get over the top. Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Speaking of over the top, Amazon is having like the pilot thing, and they have Jean-Claude Van Johnson. Very funny, very meta on a ridiculous and funny level, but it's also just really, it's almost like JCVD meets another version of JCVD. Like, you know, he kind of goes third person for some of it, which is very funny to see. In any case, last question we asked everybody, what's the most over-the-top action movie that you love? Jason has Furious 7. The pipe scene with Vin and Statham was amazing. That's after they collapsed in the garage. Greg writes, Turbo Kid. 80s childhood nostalgia meets Tokyo Shock while pumping the best score this side of Stranger Things.
That is a great movie.
I started watching it and I have to finish it.
Oh, you have to. Jason, have did to you see that?
It. Yeah, I did. I really like that movie. Great movie.
Turbo yeah, that was really good.
That's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It is streaming, yeah.
Okay.
I got to the part where the guy goes back to his bunker and the girl just is already in there. And he's like, how did you get in here? I know it's like only 10 minutes into the movie, but we'll finish it.
Listen, anything with the Ironside usually gets the thumbs up.
That's so true. Monocle Ironside is that movie, yeah. Manish writes, Crank 2, High Voltage. Philip has Hot Fuzz. And lastly, Joe has Jackie Chan's Rumble in the Bronx.
Oh my God! I don't know if that's over the top.
That's a realistic depiction of the Bronx shot in Canada.
You're saying that you know those gangs aren't as crazy as they really are in the Bronx.
If anything, he toned it down.
He toned it down. Or his uncle in the movie. They just wanted to run a shop, man.
I guess like the best John Woo stuff's not exactly not over the top.
Right.
I mean, they're pretty over the top.
But wonderfully beautifully over the top. So.
That's kind of true, yeah.
No. All right. Now we get to some questions here. We got some questions for us to answer. Philip asks, I just saw Young Sherlock Holmes for the first time, and I thought it was really good. Why do you think it doesn't have a bigger following? It never seems to come up other than for that CG shot of the stained glass night. Because it wasn't much of a box office hit, and it got mediocre reviews. I think that's pretty much why.
I've never seen Young Sherlock Holmes.
I think it's fine. I haven't watched it in ages. It's a Barry Levinson film, which I forgot. Actually, I was looking it up. It's like, oh yeah, Barry Levinson did that movie. And yeah, it was kind of.
I don't know how popular that character was at that point. So
yeah.
So it could have just been it could have been timing on it. You know, I mean, people love it now. So at the time, maybe people just weren't into it.
Did Spielberg produce it?
I think so.
I feel like that sounds right.
Really? Oh, yes. We're looking it up. Jimmy says yes.
It is?
I'm just saying that. I think he did. Oh. I'm not.
It's got a screenplay by Chris Columbus, so he's from the Sherlock. He's from the Spielberg school. Yeah, it is. Spielberg presents. It is. It's a Spielberg.
Right.
Yeah, it's 85. Yeah, that's got to be like an Amblin movie. But yeah, I mean, it's not like horrible. It's just that, yeah, I mean, when was the last time anyone thought about your young Sherlock Holmes? That's pretty much the reason why no one talks about it. Like, it's
people still talk about Young Hercules with Ryan Gosling.
No one talks about Young Hercules, right?
No,
you used to be on Fox Kids in the afternoon.
That doesn't equate to everyone used to talk about it.
Anyway, the next question we ask everybody, Jason asks everybody here: do you think that the Tatum's Gambit movie will ever get made, or is that film dead?
I would never say never, but I think people are kind of reevaluating where they're going to place it.
I know Fox still has a number of like untitled X-Men movie slots in their schedule.
Yeah.
They're coming off of Apocalypse, which didn't do well.
Right.
So they have some things to work out. They just lost their director, Doug Liman, to DC because he's doing Justice League Dark now.
Mm-hmm.
Tatum's very committed to playing Gambit at some point in the future. So,
Didn't he pull out of the movie himself at one point?
No, there was a week where basically his publicist publicly tried to renegotiate his salary by way of some kind of announcing he was out, only for him to be back in a couple days later. So, I mean, basically that means he got more money. That's pretty much what you can glean from that. Right. But as far as him being out of it, he seems pretty committed to playing Gambit at some point. It's just,
it certainly is a never-say-never situation. I agree that Apocalypse didn't really do as well as Fox thought, so it doesn't really leave a great taste in people's mouths, and it might be like a ring situation.
Remember, X-Men Origins came out in 2009, and Deadpool came out this year, so I'm not doubting that a Gambit movie will get made at some point.
Yeah. I mean, that was after, like, leaked Comic-Con footage and Ryan Reynolds really campaigning to say, let's do this movie.
Yeah. So after they make 23 Men in Black Jump Street, we'll see where.
I thought that was canceled.
Jonah Hill said it's really hard. Doesn't mean it's canceled.
Okay. But I want to see it.
They have James?
Really?
They have James Bobbin from The Muppets and Flight of the Conchords lined up to direct it. So we'll see where these things go.
A bizarre concept on that one.
Yeah, but I like the idea of that more than a fourth Men in Black or a third 22 Jump Street. Like,
I would rather have just I think I'd be fine with another 21 Jump Street. I've never liked a Men in Black movie ever. I haven't liked any of them.
Just saying the idea of mashing those two movies together, just like, I have not seen that before.
It
you
is
want to
bizarre,
tell me something I haven't
sure.
seen before? That's a key example of what I haven't seen before.
Sure. I'll wait to see actual footage and trailers before I officially judge, but yeah, I'm not a huge Men in Black fan.
I can't keep seeing those two guys playing like they're younger versions of college dude or whatever. It's like
all right. Yeah.
I agree
with that.
Okay.
I think they kind of wrapped it up with that 22 Jump Street ending where it was like, you know, they did all the trailers for all the upcoming sequels. They kind of killed it because they're like, well, then you've already done all those.
Well, I think that's why the Men in Black thing makes a level of sense. It's like, well, they didn't do that in those trailers, I guess.
why don't they have like 22 Jump Street meets Friday the 13th? Now that I would see.
Wait for one to be a success, and they can do that next.
I know, right?
that's a great point.
Wait, 24 Jump Street Art School isn't a slasher movie?
I know, right?
All right.
No, stop giving them ideas.
I know.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, I was like, that actually does sound like a movie I might want to see.
Johnson, maybe Hollywood on the phone. All right, that was feedback.
Feedback.
Thank our listeners as always for all that feedback. Very good stuff. Good questions as well. Happy to mine those out. Abe, what time is it?
Aaron, I think it might be time for a couple of cool games here.
Games.
Yeah. pretty that certain is, that that was a long the bell. Song that played when Stephen Lang opens up the door to his front house.
That's the only thing he hears.
That's true. That is the only thing. I've got a couple games for you guys.
A couple games, okay. A
couple. One of them we played before, but I'm going to change the name of it. But the first one we're going to play is called Don't Go Into the House.
Ooh.
Where I'll read you guys a clue about a house in a horror movie, and I'd like to you to tell me the name of the movie that I'm referring to. And if you give me the character, that kind of just is brownie points as well.
So you're going to name a scenario of a haunted house movie?
I'll give you a clue of, basically a scenario of a haunted house movie or a description of, what happens in the movie. And tell me which movie I'm talking about.
Okay.
So let's try this out.
All right.
All right. You might, oh, buzz in with your name, please.
Yeah.
And then give the answer. All right. You might be in trouble if you run into this guy's house in Haddonfield, Illinois.
Jimmy.
Nice. Jimmy.
Halloween.
That's right. Yeah.
Michael Myers, of course.
Brownie points.
Mm-hmm.
Next one. If you're visiting Springwood, try not to go near the house. Jimmy.
Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy Krueger.
That is true. Let's see if you can get this one, Jimmy. The family in this Cuesta Vista house was pretty upset to learn.
Oh, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
That was Poltergeist.
That is true.
Oh, Jesus.
Next one here. If you're ever in the real-life spooky house in Harrisville, Rhode Island...
Jimmy.
Jimmy?
That would be Amityville Horror.
Yeah, even I knew that.
I was waiting for that one.
You didn't let me finish the clue there. You may want to call Ed and Lorraine Warren to help you out.
Aaron.
Yep.
Aaron.
Oh!
The Conjuring 2?
I'll accept it. It's The Conjuring.
Well, no, they did Conjuring. No, they did the Amityville stuff in The Conjuring 2.
Yeah.
Harrisville,
they didn't do
Rhode
that in
Island?
The first one.
I don't know. Oh, the clue told me Harrisville Conjuring, so I'll accept the Conjuring.
You're referencing the Amityville Horror. I mean, that's the Conjuring too.
Fair enough.
We'll see. All right, next one here. This one might be a little bit obscure. Don't go into the house in this. Don't go into this country house in England where the piano plays itself and old ladies tell you that they are your daughter.
Aaron.
Aaron.
The Others.
That's correct.
Oh yeah.
Next one here. If you're going camping, I would recommend not going to Burkittsville, Maryland.
Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Blair Witch.
That's right.
Or Blair Witch Project. Or Blair Witch 2, Book of Shadows.
Thanks for the full title of all of them. last one in this game here. While the house in San Diego wasn't really the issue.
Oh, Jimmy.
Jimmy?
Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, Jimmy just went on a roll here, and he clearly destroyed that game. The next one. Is what we traditionally called escalator, but I actually want to see, I want to name it Going Up. So,
okay.
Essentially, it's a game where we name a genre and we'll have to take turns, all of us, I'm playing this one too, we'll have to take turns naming movie titles with a one-word movie title for a genre, and then we'll move into a two-word movie title, a three-word movie title, and you basically eliminate yourself if you can't think of a movie title with a set number of words in it. The counts as one, and A counts as one, so like... A
so words count as words. Got it.
Yeah, words count as words. So again, and going up...
And it's all genre, right?
Yeah, the genre this week, because we're talking about Don't Breathe, is horror movies. So let's start with Aaron, Jimmy, Jason, and then Abe.
So for this first round, we all name a movie that has one word in the title. The second round, we go two words in the title, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
And in slowly eliminating people if they can't think of anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody got that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm up first, is that what you said?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Anaconda.
Okay.
Madman.
Them.
Hellraiser.
Okay, so two now?
Yeah.
Okay. Two. Halloween 2.
The Fog.
Brain Damage.
They Live.
Hmm.
Three words now.
The Evil Dead.
Hmm. The Final Terror.
Basket Case 3.
That's funny.
Freddy versus Jason.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
Four words, no.
Yeah. Okay. I'm counting on my fingers.
So. Yeah, me too.
Let's see. Okay. Okay. Halloween 4. Wait, no, sorry. Shit.
Okay. I'll allow it.
I got way too ambitious on that one. You mean? All
right. You're going with
okay,
the never mind. Michael Myers, which is like
I'll go a different direction. Dawn of the Dead.
Okay.
Yeah, he knows you're alone.
Village of the Damned.
Ooh.
Four words. Leprechaun 4 in space?
I don't think it was title? Called in space.
Let's fact check.
Verifying. Hold on. Yes, it is. Leprechaun 4 in space.
Oh, is it? Okay, cool.
Yes.
Good job.
I thought it would be the Leprechaun 4 in space. It's my turn now.
Five words.
Okay. Return of the Living Dead.
The People Under the Stairs.
The Last House on the Left.
That's six words.
Oh, that's six. Okay.
Oh, is it? The Last House on the...
I forgot. That's what I was going to say, Last House on the Left, but then I realized the. Okay. Oh, well, I'm out.
Both versions have one, by the way.
The Cabin in the Woods.
Well, I thought it was just Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods?
Yeah, I think so. Let me double check.
No, wait, no, you're right.
No, it is the. Okay. It is the. Good job.
All right. Six words, Aaron.
Six words?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Okay. I feel like Jimmy already has, like, a 12-word movie title. Just, he's not that far ahead.
I got an 8.
You probably have a 7 one as well.
Are we on, were we on 6?
6.
Night of the Living Dead 3D.
Jimmy, can you verify that?
Night of the Living Dead 3D. Yeah, no, that's a thing.
That's okay. The Sid Haig one, yeah.
All right. Jimmy, 6 words.
Is it the Return of the Living Dead? Did we already do that one?
I did the Return of the Living Dead.
You did that as 6?
You did the, or you said Return. So, yeah, you probably did it as a 5 then. Is it 5 or 6?
I did a 5. I did Return of the Living Dead.
Okay, because, it's the Return of the Living Dead.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, that means
you did it.
Aaron is also eliminated. It is the Return of the Living Dead. I'm sorry, Aaron. Yeah.
Can I retroactively say Night of the Living Dead is my 5? And then 3D is my 6?
I'm going to say no.
Okay, fine.
So, Jimmy, you're at a 6?
Yes. Which I just did.
Okay. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
That's
not
correct.
The Halloween.
You're at 7 words.
7 words. La, 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 la. Halloween. Howling 2. My sister is a werewolf. Is it the Howling or Howling?
It's Howling 2.
Your sister is a werewolf. There you go. I got
a 7. Let me see. I don't know if I can do a 7. I think Aaron might have given me something earlier. Halloween 4, The Curse of Michael Myers.
That's not
the title?
That's Halloween 5.
Ah!
Yep.
Or 6, right. Sorry. That's Halloween 6.
Yep. Yep.
What's Halloween 4?
The Return of Michael
Myers. The Return of Michael Myers.
All right,
and
Jimmy.
And 5 is The Revenge of Michael Myers.
Yes, you exactly.
Win. You win going up.
Woohoo!
Congratulations. Did anybody have anything beyond 7 just in their pockets?
There's probably some Friday the 13th I can throw out there.
Oh, yeah. There was
Jason Does Manhattan, or?
Yeah, Jason Does Manhattan. That's what it's called.
Jason Does Manhattan is my
That's
favorite.
That's a porn parody.
It's Jason Takes Manhattan. He and Kermit combine. It's great.
Yeah, I actually had an 8 already. The little girl who lived down the lane. So I was prepared, man.
Jimmy was prepared. That's how you play Going Up?
Yep. All right. Good games, Abe.
Yep.
All right. Moving on. Let's get down now. Out Now presents What's Out Now. These are movies that are coming on the Blu-ray or DVD this week. And we have a number of things here. First up, The Jungle Book.
Yes. See it.
Ugh.
Didn't like it?
Really? That's the movie you're against? The Jungle Book?
Yeah, because...
Of all the movies?
There's like... there's like 10 minutes of two musical numbers within 10 minutes. If you're going to be a musical, be a musical. That kid was boring. I thought it was mediocre.
You just railed against the Disney movie for having songs?
Yeah, two in 10 minutes. Be consistent. There's no song for 40 minutes. There's one crappy song, and then there's another crappy song, a really crappy song, and then there's no point to that movie. God,
really, I was about the Jungle Book.
Kind of bummed out that they didn't do the Elephant March song.
Oh my God, I hate everything about that movie.
Oh. Jimmy aside, go see it.
I'm with Abe. Go see it. It's very popular and very fun.
I was in the middle.
Yes, some people like it. That's fine.
Me Before
I was bored. I couldn't wait till it got to the end. That was good.
I moved on to the next thing. Me Before You with Aerys Targaryen and the guy from Hunger Games.
Why does that sound familiar? Is that some like teen love story?
No, it's the one where, what's his name? The guy from Hunger Games, Sam Claflin. He's like paralyzed and she becomes
I heard that was all right.
Yeah, I heard it's all right.
That was an all right.
I heard it was good.
And fun fact, it made a ton of money on like a $20 million budget. So good on that movie, I guess.
Good on them, yeah.
Yeah,
no, it did pretty well.
Yeah. Let's see, Star Wars Rebels Season 2. If you're a fan of Star Wars Rebels, latest season.
Season 2.
Yeah. Arrow Season 4. If
you're a fan. They're on Season 5 already?
They will be, yeah.
Oh,
wow.
That comes after 4.
Time flies.
Shameless Season 6. If you want to know where Bill Macy's been. He's been on Shameless. Yep.
You call him Bill?
Oh, yeah. Billy?
You guys are that close?
Billy H. Williams? Is like. The Night Manager. This is the Tom Hiddleston, Hugh Lowry spy drama from John Le Carre.
Oh, yeah. I've heard it's really good. I've got to watch that.
I think it's fine. I'd be curious your thoughts. Like, I like other Le Carre things more. I really like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, for example. That's a movie, obviously. This is a six parts.
I could be wrong. Yeah, I think it's six.
Maybe because they're all like 2 hours or something like that. Maybe that's why I'm thinking it. Yeah, you're right. It was like a 6-part miniseries. It's fine. I think you kind of know where it's going. That was my main problem with it. But there's some good stuff there from Hiddleston and Hugh Lowry. So
cool.
Let's see. The Commitments 25th Anniversary Edition Blu-ray.
Oh, dude. Have you guys seen that? That is one of my all-time favorite movies, by the way.
I haven't.
It's Alan Parker. It is fantastic. It is one of the best music bio. I mean, it's fictional bio, but it's engaging. The songs are great. That's a musical. Actually has music that's good.
Good soundtrack on that.
Great soundtrack.
Anyone that's gone out and seen Sing Street that hasn't seen The Commitments, they should go see The Commitments because Sing Street borrows a number of things from that movie.
Well,
you definitely
also,
have to get see both.
Yeah, you and Glenn Hansard, who was in Once
yeah.
is in Commitments. So awesome. Love that film.
Let's see. The Phenom? Did anyone see The
Phenom? That's one that I talked about.
I did see The Phenom because, you know, I'm a huge fan of the director of that film. He's the one who did The Missing Person with Michael Shannon. And then he also did Sparrow's Dance, which is a total hidden gem that was on my top 10 list as well. So I was anything by that director, Noah Bushill. I'm a huge, that movie is extremely disappointing.
Yes, that's exactly what I told Aaron.
Yeah, and it's a shame because his previous films are so good. I sought it out just because he directed it.
I thought there were a couple of really nice performances.
It's got Giamatti, but it goes nowhere. It's terrible.
Well, even with Giamatti, I didn't think Giamatti was doing that well. I thought that Johnny Simmons was doing a good job. And Ethan Hawke fucking brought it. So I enjoy those two characters, but everything else is kind of like, I don't know what's going on here.
Skip it. Go watch Sparrow's Dance. It's a little hidden gem.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, from Scream Factory, I believe, Deathstalker and Deathstalker 2 are now on Blu-ray.
Woohoo!
That's awesome.
By the way, Jimmy, can we get an update on The Harvesters?
You will soon. We have a big announcement coming very soon.
Yeah. Harvesters 2, still harvesting.
Exactly. No,
Harvesters
3,
you reap what you sow.
And I
boom.
I don't know. That is a good one. I don't Thank know you. If I've said this last time I was on, but I have seen the film. I've seen the finished film, work print, and I'm very, very happy, very excited about it. And you know, when you're producing something and you're not on the set every day, it's a little terrifying because you're kind of like, oh well, hopefully it's working out. And I'm very pleased with it. Very, it's a really cool little mystery, and I think people are going to like it.
Good to know.
Glad.
So,
nice.
All right. That was now what's presents out now. Next up, extremely cool. These are movies that are now on streaming that we can recommend in some way. I saw The Road is back on Netflix.
I saw that. With, great
with,
movie.
With Viggo.
Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo.
Viggo
and,
and what's his
name? Yeah. Asa Butterfield?
No, not by. No, what's his the other one.
The other
the
one?
The other one. Yeah, that's driving me crazy. Okay, I'm getting the.
Wait. Is it the kid that I didn't like?
Oh,
until
Cody
West?
Smith McPhee.
Cody yes. Smith McPhee, yes.
Yeah.
West kid. Okay. Yeah, I do get those guys confused.
Slow West did Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Yeah.
Who's the one that's going to be in Mrs. Peregrine's whatever?
That's Asa Butterfield.
That's
Hugo.
That's
Hugo's in that one.
Hugo. Okay.
All right. We got Hugo and oh, he's Ender also. Okay.
Yeah, he's the same guy.
Cody's more art house.
Yeah.
So that's on Netflix now. He's also Paranorman. What are we talking about? Cody's McPhee.
Yeah, Cody's.
Yeah, Paranorman's awesome.
Yeah,
love Paranorman.
Oh yeah.
Oh, can we just say like one thing?
Go, no, people, moving on.
Go see. Okay. No, go see Kubo and the Two Strings.
Well, that's coming up in the next segment.
We got that segment.
Okay. Jeez. Go see it.
Well, yes.
Damn it.
The Road is on Netflix again. If you're looking for a fun romp. And
oh man, Road's great.
It's a good,
wow.
a good campfire summer movie romp.
Yeah.
Oh man,
if you put the Sandlot and The Road on back to back, you just nothing but fun.
Yeah, fun times.
Since we talked about Home Invasion this week, and I did bring this up before, but Hush, that's on Netflix now. I'm a fan of Hush. That's one that's worth.
Woohoo!
If you,
I like that Mike Flanagan. He's talented.
Don't breathe about a blind man. This Hush is about a deaf woman. So also in Home Invasion drama. So there you go. Let's see, next week's show. Next week we'll be doing our Summer Movie Gamble Results Show. Abe and I, along with many other frequent guests of the podcast, all participated in what we thought would be the top 10 highest grossing films of the summer. And we're going to have our big results show, because lots of things happened that we didn't necessarily predict, such as the success of Tarzan. So we'll see where that goes on next week's show. And I'm quite excited to find the final tally of this one. Abe isn't, but that's besides the point. Let's move on here. Let's get to last thing. What should people go and see now, and what do you plan to see next? Abe, what should people go and see in theaters right now?
Echoing what Jimmy just said, definitely go see Kubo and the Two Strings. Please, please, please give it some money, because it definitely deserves all the praise that it's getting. I don't know what I'm saying next, but there's a lot of movies out right now that I haven't seen, like what I talked about last week, Don't Think Twice. Sing Street, which is on streaming, so there's some movies that I need to catch up on.
Sing Street's not on streaming yet, but you can rent it.
Or just
blind buy it, which you should, because it's awesome.
You should. It's awesome.
Jason, what about you? What should people go and see in theaters right now?
I don't know if it's still in there, but The Train to Busan, the Korean flick, the zombie movie, man, is that a great... It's what World War Z should have been. It's a
I
really
keep hearing
great
that,
piece of work.
Jason. I like World War Z. I heard that it was really good. I liked World War Z too, but I hear this Train one is really, really, really good. Second person that's met recommended that, so...
Yeah, and looking forward to coming up, Jeff Nichols is gracing it. Because they took so long to release Midnight Special, Jeff Nichols has yet another movie coming out this year.
Loving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, loving.
Can't wait.
Anything Jeff Nichols, I'm looking forward to seeing. So
True Dad.
Yeah, I am. Jimmy, what should people go and see in theaters right now, as you said?
Well, absolutely Kubo. Just drop everything. Go see Kubo. Go see Don't Breathe. There's so much out there. That's these small little movies. I loved Captain Fantastic. If you can still find it, I would recommend. I'm trying to think. What am I seeing next?
Yeah,
seeing the Scream Factory, Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, okay. What's his name? With Vincent Cassell.
Yeah, which I'm excited because I'm a huge Vincent Cassell fan. And I'm seeing other movies that I can't talk about yet, which is always fun.
Was Vincent Cassell in Ocean's 12 or 13?
Both.
Both.
Oh,
yeah.
Both. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
He's awesome. He's a bigger force in 12, but yeah.
12. Yeah. The combination to your save is 12, 22, 22. How did you know that?
He does that dance. I would say yeah, Kubo and the Two Strings definitely. And Hell or High Water, I think, is well worth checking out as well.
Yeah, that's my. Oh, that's the next one I need to see. I never got to see that one, so that's that one I'm on to.
If you like great movies,
yeah, that's what I keep hearing.
I've been calling it No Country for Old Men's Cousin. It's very good. Don't think twice. Mike Birbiglia's film. If you want to find, there's basically things in all genres you can find right now, and
this is true.
Worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, next. I think I'm going to go see Kevin Smith Yoga Hosers because I feel like I don't know.
you need to know what all the controversy is about?
There's no controversy.
I want to see it. I want to see it. I think it looks fun.
There's no controversy. There's just people don't like Kevin Smith so much anymore.
I'm down to see it.
But yeah, I think that's going to do it for this week's episode of Out Now with Aaron and Abe. So you can find more of my work at my personal blog, thecodeofzeke.com, where you can find all my written movie reviews there. You can also find me writing daily over at screenrant.com. You can find me on Twitter at aaronsps4. Abe?
You can find more of Aaron's work over at thecodeofzeke.com. You can find me on twitter.com/ walrusmoose, # Kubo and the Goat, Kubo and the Two Strings.
Jimmy O.
You can find me on Twitter, Jimmy to the O, of course, joeblow.com, arrowinthehead.com. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Periscope, I'm on Snapchat, I'm on all that crap. Facebook too. Usually Jimmy T. Leo or James Oster.
Jason Coleman.
Yeah, I've made my new home at whysoblue.com, which I am extremely awesomely happy about, with, of course, Aaron and Brandon Peters, Brian White. So I'm excited to be writing for them. Forgotten Friday Flick, Encapsulated Reviews. I'm so excited. And also, you can check out stuff that Jimmy and I are doing. We are working on a couple of really awesome events. You can check us out with our Flicks for Fans page. It's facebook.com/flicks4fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple really cool things coming up. You guys are going to love it.
And yeah, cool. Jason, happy to have you on the Wise of Blue team. You've been doing a great job.
Thanks, yeah, welcome, thanks. Dude. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks for, you know, welcoming me too, Aaron. I'm not on the Wise of Blue team.
As soon as you want to bring the Walrus Moose over to Wise of Blue.
Write ridiculous news stories for your site.
Yeah. And yeah, with that being said, you can find all the other episodes about Now Arthur and Abe over on iTunes as well as Audio Boom.
Listen to us over at HHWLOD, SoundCloud, and Podomatic.
And feel free to email us any thoughts on what we talked about this this podcast episode over at outnowpodcast@gmail.com.
Keep writing feedback and questions over at facebook.com/outnowpodcast, or you can tweet us at twitter.com/outnow_podcast.
And, of course, there's our Tumblr page where you can send us plenty of gifts of people being trapped in the night somewhere at outnowpodcast.tumblr.com. Sure. It's a doozy. Visit that one.
I think we'd rather prefer Snapchat.
Set up our OutNow Snapchat.
We don't have one.
Not yet. Don't give us ideas.
Well, you should.
Okay. Jimmy, Jason, thank you both for joining
us. Thank you both for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And yeah, that's going to do it for this week's episode. I am looking forward to how the summer gamble goes. I think it might be pretty up in the air. I know I'm pretty confident in myself because I know I have a lot of things that are pretty right on, but we'll see. There's always surprises in these things. So until next time, so long.
And goodbye. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. For if you are shy for tomorrow, you'll be shy for 1,000 days. Stormy weather, ragged sweat now, so what's your pleasure? Swallow your pride, but please don't be shy. Don't be shy. This week on Out Now with Aaron and Abe, we're talking
What are we talking? It's done. I got it. Okay.